Join us every Friday for encouragement, freedom, and biblical truth. Grab your coffee or grab your tea. It's going to be a good one. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast. This is not live. This is a premiere. And so if you're in the live chat, hello, hello, hello. Please, I didn't want to close it tonight. I wanted to keep it open for fellowship. So that's what we're doing. And I'm sure my wonderful mods are there and taking care of business. But this week is going to be a little different. It should be either right at an hour, a little bit under an hour. And so there is a particular video that I came across. I don't know, time flies, guys. So maybe 3, 4, 5 months ago. Sure. And it was by a therapist. His name is Siri Satnam Singh. And his show called The Therapist is on Viceland, which is, I think, Vice TV or something like that. I don't know. And he did an interview with Katy Perry, or her real name is Katherine Hudson. So when I seen this clip, again, months and months ago, and I saw the Christian community commenting on it, and we have a tendency to do that. And I think out of excitement, you know, we want everyone to be saved. But the thing is people are confusing God and spirituality. They're confusing spirituality and faith. And faith has a very biblical, meaty meaning. And that means when you put your faith, what is faith? That is putting your faith in the unseen and putting your faith in what Christ has done for us and your faith and trust. So what does that faith mean? That's basically what we believe in. Christ came to earth, born of a virgin. He died, he rose again, and he's coming again. And he just didn't die on a cross. He died for our sins. That's what that he paid the penalty for our sins. So there's a lot of confusion within the body of Christ. We've seen that with Alan Richson, you know, the actor from Reacher, how he is confusing. He doesn't understand what all of that means biblically. And I know, I get it. We get excited, but we have to remember what Jesus do these people serve. And not all of them are serving the Jesus of the Bible. And that is why I said, you know what? This was originally, just so everyone is aware, this was originally going to be an RLE, a red light edition. And then I was like, well, I need to do an episode. And I was going to do one episode, but I really wanted audience interaction. So that's going to be next Friday. So make sure you tune in. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. But anyway, so with that being said, this therapist, you know, he's kind of, I guess, well-known in Hollywood circles. He's big on European mysticism and practices yoga. So you can hear his combative way sometimes in this interview, how he wants to make Christianity, the stigma, the bad thing in the room. He kind of eggs her on to badmouth, you know, her upbringing, three times actually during the interview, which I don't find alarming at all, because his way he thinks is the right way. So let's go ahead and knock the right way, right? Just like the devil. And then right in the beginning, you'll see there's symbolism. So she's holding like an index card. So it's probably like the size of this paper. And on the back of the card, and I did some fancy editing, you'll see it very quickly, though. It's the one eye. And that's what he gives people to read off of. So then another thing, you can look at her hand and you'll see the yin and yang ring that she wears. And then the other thing that I found very disturbing within this interview was, let's call it what it is, I guess, a therapy session, was the dual personality of Katy and Katherine. I'm very concerned about all of that. So again, this is just an interview. I can't do the whole 50 minutes, unfortunately. It would just take too long. This would turn into probably a 3-hour podcast because y'all know how I love to give commentary. So what I did is I just kind of really listened and wrote and took notes on things that me, Kim, personally, I found where my ear was buzzed. The full video is in the description box below. Make sure you click it if you want to watch the whole 50-minute interview, and you can hear it. The other thing that he kept mentioning was the priestess. Katie is a priestess and then a goddess. And you notice each time that he called her the goddess, she loved that. She liked the little accolades of her being, you know, a priestess, which was crazy weird. But anyway, so just a little background on Katy Perry, so everyone is aware. So her family is Pentecostal, and she says a lot of things that kind of confused me, and the strict home that she grew up in. But yet you'll hear a segment, and I'm not going to give it away. And I'm like, well, then how strict was it? But and she does get emotional sometimes, and you have to remember – she says it out of her own mouth that she does meditation and she practices yoga now. Kundalini is not only the shaking and the writhing that we see in these new apostolic churches, but Kundalini also invokes this strange emotion that comes over people where they just weep uncontrollably or they feel the need to cry. And it's scary, actually. I don't know if she practices Kundalini, but I'm just telling you, there's a very dark demonic spirit that is hovering over meditation and yoga. So anyway, with that being said, that's really what we're going to get into this week. And I would love to know your comments, and I would love to hear your feedback on it. Because again, ultimately, we need to pray for Katy and for Alan and for Chris Pratt and all of these people who are, again, like I said in the beginning, they're confusing God and spirituality. They're confusing spirituality and faith. Because it's not the same. God is not spirituality. That's not what it is. And so we need to pray for her, you know. And I don't know what kind of Pentecostal movement. I mean, I'm going to be doing a podcast on that. I don't know. But the roots of Pentecostalism is very demonic, and we'll get into that. But I don't know what kind of family she grew up in. Clearly, me and you and everyone else in the world was not present. But, and then you can hear her, she's very conflicted because a lot of us don't want to walk with the Lord because we don't want to lay aside our sin and our guilt. We don't want to recognize that we need a savior. That's the whole gist of it, right? Our pride and our ego. Why do you think the devil fell? He wanted to be like God. So anyway, I'm going to let this interview play, and I hope you guys get something out of it this week. Again, I think my intro is probably a bulk of this podcast, but instead of me still talking, what I would love to do first is when I did my show notes for all of the RLEs that were upcoming, and it's funny because Carly had posted this on her channel. It's not the same thing though. It's on the same line of it, but that just shows I always love confirmation from the Lord, because she had just posted something on her, I think it was her channel, maybe it was in Telegram. Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. So what I put this thing together, and I love it because it tells us who Christ is in every single book of the Bible. So that takes a couple of minutes there, and then we'll go into the interview. But I really wanted to hone in on who Jesus is. You know, I do these things. I expose falsehood for a reason, because we're told to do that. Mark exposed and have no fellowship. We're not supposed to partner with false teachers. We're not supposed to partner with falsehood. We're not supposed to compromise. And that's what we do as a church. We compromise. All of us do, including myself. We're compromising. And for why? You know, what's the benefit of that? Why do we do that? And there's reasons, and you need to work that out. That's why the Bible says work out your own salvation. So anyway, with that being said, let's dive into this week's RLE. There's going to be no mug introduction. So anyway, here we go. I hope you guys enjoy it. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God. He is the Creator. He is the Savior of the world. He is the only person who came to earth sinless. His very name, Joshua, Yeshua, means, for he will save his people from their sins. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah of Israel. In all 66 books of the Bible, Jesus is there. Will you journey with me really quick and let's see who Jesus is in all 66 books. In Genesis, he was the Word of God creating the heavens and the earth. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb whose blood was sprinkled on the doorposts so that we could escape the bonds of slavery. In Leviticus, he was the temple, the holy place where you met with God. In Numbers, he is our ever-present guide, our pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet coming who is greater than Moses. In Joshua, he was the conquering warrior leading us into the promised land. In Judges, he was the broken savior rising up to rescue us. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he was the pure-hearted shepherd king who rushed out to face our giants all alone. In 1 and 2 Kings, he was the righteous ruler. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he was the restorer of the kingdom. In Ezra, he was the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the walls. In Esther, he is our advocate, risking his life to restore us to royalty. In Job, he is our living redeemer. In the Psalms, he's the one who hears our cries. In Proverbs, he is wisdom personified. In Ecclesiastes, he is the meaning that lets you escape the madness. In the Song of Solomon, he is our lover and our bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. In Jeremiah, he is the spirit that writes God's laws on our hearts. In Lamentations, he was the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the river of life, bringing healing to the nations. In Daniel, he was the fourth man in that fire. In Hosea, he is the ever-faithful husband pursuing his unfaithful bride. In Joel, he's the restorer of all that the locusts have eaten. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, the judge of all the earth. In Jonah, he's the prophet cast out into the storm so that you and I could be brought in. In Micah, he is the everlasting ruler born in Bethlehem. In Nahum, he is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is our reason to rejoice even when our fields are empty. In Zephaniah, he is the great reformer. In Haggai, he is the cleansing fountain. In Zechariah, he is the pierced son who every eye on earth will behold him one day and bow. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he is King of the Jews. In Mark, he is the Son of God. In Luke, he is the Savior born to us in the city of David, Christ the Lord. In John, he is the Word made flesh dwelling among us. In Acts, he is Christ, the risen Lord, proclaiming salvation to the nations. In Romans, he is the justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he is the spirit at work in the churches. In Galatians, he is the righteousness imputed to us by faith. In Ephesians, he is our righteous armor. In Philippians, he is the God who meets our every need. In Colossians, he is the firstborn of all creation. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is descending from heaven with a shout, coming to meet us together in the clouds. Can I get a hallelujah and amen on that one? In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is the one mediator between God and man. In Titus, he is our faithful pastor. In Philemon, our Redeemer, restoring us to service. In Hebrews, he is our great high priest. In James, he is the life at work in our faith. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he is our living cornerstone. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is our advocate, pleading his righteousness in our place. In Jude, he is God, our Savior, the one who keeps us from stumbling and presents us blameless in his presence with great joy. And in Revelation, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Coming up next, I am allowed under the Fair Use Copyright Act to use portions of this show. I'm able to use this under the Fair Use Act for teaching, for commenting, so people can learn and grow. Also, a creative work or a parody.
My name is Dr. Siri Satnam Singh, and I'm a licensed therapist.
I have been in therapy for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And
sit back, relax.
Okay. Well, it's changed my life.
Yes. So we're going to call you Catherine, right?
Yes, Catherine.
Catherine is here. Katie's going to take a rest for a minute.
Oh, thank you so much. I just like, that's what I'm trying to do, is to be seen as Catherine Hudson sometimes. Yes. Well, a lot of times.
It was very interesting. Did you notice your behavior? And Katie?
Oh, yes, my behavior, yeah.
And then Catherine sat back in the chair.
Yes.
So we were talking about the four primary archetypal presences for a woman.
Yes.
And Katie, we're going to give her some attention today.
Sure.
Is the priestess and actually a goddess. Is the priestess and actually a goddess. And actually a goddess.
Thank you.
And
worked hard on that one.
Yeah. And so she's the one that really elevates others and inspires and actually goes into the unconscious and makes things come forth that is there that others don't have the courage to bring forth into the light.
I wanted just to give you guys that introduction there so you can kind of get a little bit of a feel of the dynamics between the therapist and Katie, Catherine. Again, egos always like to be stroked. She's a priestess, the goddess. In the beginning, you saw the eye on the piece of, index card notepaper. I gave you an introduction about the Catherine and Katie kind of duel. And then the yin and yang ring will come up. If you look at her hand, you can definitely see it throughout the duration. But now we're going to get into the gist and why I'm doing this RLE this week and why I wanted to preface it with who Jesus is, because no one in their supposed faith walk or knowledge of God or Jesus should ever be confused about that. And we need to make it very clear while you're listening to this. That's why I did it in the beginning, who Jesus is and why, unfortunately, this new age, one world religion mindset is going to be at the forefront and the center of everything when the rapture and the tribulation begins.
So how was Catherine growing up as a child? I know nothing about your childhood.
Catherine growing up. Well, I love my parents.
Yes.
And I grew up with a lot of born-again Christian beliefs. And so I had people around me, like-minded people like that. And I would say that it was a bit of a bubble, although I don't regret or think I could change anything.
I want you to feel what you're saying.
Okay. I don't regret or think I could change anything because I know I can't. But it wasn't always that easy. Because, you know, it was very strict and, I was a very curious person and, the curiosity sometimes it wasn't allowed because you had to have faith. So it was hard for me sometimes to be curious about what was going on in the rest of the world.
So that whole part was very confusing to me. It was very concerning to me. So you can't be curious if you were raised in a Christian home. I felt like I could be curious as someone who was gifted in singing or acting or just creativity. I never felt like I couldn't be curious or ask questions because of my faith. If anything, parents would welcome that in a Christian home. They want to hear questions. So that whole part really, really confused me. We're going to go ahead and continue on here with their interview and see what else has to be said regarding this.
What did some of that curiosity lead you to that was not permitted, or that you wanted to investigate?
You know, I wanted to like work on my purpose, work on my craft, so that I could travel the world and like have these experiences, meet these people, like re-educate my mind. And that is partially why I started singing, is, you know, to pop my own bubble, to get out of my own situation.
What were you trying to get out of?
I guess I was just trying to get out of one way of thinking.
Okay, what was that thinking like? I don't know anything about it.
It was like, you know, it was like just do as I say, no ifs, ands, or buts. And it wasn't, it was like, you know, it was based on my religious upbringing. And I just always, like, I have so many questions. I ask all the questions in the world, and all the questions in the world have gotten me to where I'm at now. And it's not that I wasn't allowed. It's just that, like, it wasn't normal for people to ask questions in my position.
Catherine, at a very young age, unfortunately, the devil seeped in because she didn't have true faith. That's why you can grow up in a Christian home, but you can't have the faith of your parents. You have to make that commitment to Christ. That's your faith. So she was being deceived. I have to re-educate my mind as she started singing. So the devil was twisting her mind at a young age. And this therapist is so adamant at trying to broach the spiritual topic, and he's clueless.
And you had an instinctual truth.
Yeah, it was something I didn't learn. It was so weird. It's like it came from nowhere.
That is very deceptive. That to me is very, that's an alarming statement. That it came out of nowhere. That is how the devil works. He masquerades as an angel of light to deceive.
And that caused a spiritual alienation, that you had to go against your own calling of your own individual soul.
But I loved all of it, but I always just felt like I was called for more.
Called for more?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was out there. Yeah. And I didn't know how to get it. And so I guess I started singing.
So this next part I'm going to let play, it's about right at 2 minutes long, and I'm not going to interrupt because we need to keep it in context. So before I play that in its entirety, I want to say a few things. Number one, when I was hearing her say what we just heard, I kind of felt like when Jesus was being tempted by the enemy, and I'll give you all of this if you would only worship me. So why would you think that that same temptation would not be given to one of us? I think there's a reason that God never allowed me to become famous or to maybe go on Broadway like I wanted to, because maybe I would be sitting in Catherine's position currently, that I thought maybe I had faith. Maybe I really didn't have faith. I don't know. Only God knows. But I do know for sure that the devil has had her bound. And that's, I want to keep this 2 minute, what's coming up next, in context. And I don't want to interrupt it. So again, the devil has this poor girl deceived.
And so I guess I started singing. That's how I got there.
We sometimes are obliged to let go of old ways of doing things to have a larger life. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
That became Katie.
Yeah.
But Catherine is still carrying some.
Well, it's not going to happen.
You call the word for me. What are the feelings?
I guess it's not going to happen in one day, right?
No.
It's gonna be a process, and that's why
that's what therapy is, a process.
It's no destination.
You're processing.
No, I'm just like, I guess that, like,
It's okay, Catherine.
I guess that, like, you know, I'm really strong as Katy Perry. Then sometimes I'm not as strong as Catherine Hudson, and, like...
And Catherine doesn't have to be strong.
You know, people, like, talk about my hair, right? And they don't like it. Or they wish that, like, it was longer. And, like... I so badly want to be Catherine Hudson that I don't even want to look like Katy Perry anymore sometimes.
Okay.
And, like, that is a little bit of why I cut my hair, is because I really want to be my authentic self.
Yes.
Like, 100%.
Yes. And
so it hurts, you know, when I don't feel like I can.
Let's take a quick break.
Everyone is podcasting these days. If this is something you want to do or you're already doing it, I would recommend using Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. I currently use the Blue Yeti. Buzzsprout is an extremely user-friendly platform, and I could not be happier with their services. There are so many things that this site allows you to do, from your show being listed on every major podcast platform to the audio player that you can use seamlessly on your websites, to the detailed analytics of what we, come on guys, the podcasters want to see. Don't lie, I know you look at that too. We want to know who was listening, where they're listening, how long they're listening. There are zero hassles because Buzzsprout provides these tools and more to help promote our podcasts. Fellow podcasters, do we not work hard? Well, I am here to tell you that Buzzsprout works even harder to make our podcasts stream streamlessly. Yes, I know that's not a word. If you want to join a company that already has over 100,000 podcasters, click the link and let Buzzsprout know that we sent you. This will get you a $20 credit if you sign up for a paid plan. And in addition, of course, it'll help support our show. Don't delay. Start Buzzsprouting today. I think Catherine is an individual who is hurting and is desperate for love. And as this interview continues, you can see her need for wanting to be accepted. And I mean, you know, it's back on me and my hair and this and that. And I know we all have a tendency to talk about ourselves. I do the same thing. We all do it. But Catherine desperately needs salvation. She needs to understand who Jesus is. And I know she's not going to listen to this interview. But the fact remains that she's searching and she's looking, like so many broken people are today, and they're filling it with the fillers. So this next segment coming up that I'm going to get to, I just found it, again, it's maybe a little over a minute long, and I have all the minute markers on here. There's just so many nuggets in this interview that... Again, I didn't want to just stay in that one lane that everybody was sharing. It's like, what made her say what she said? And that's actually towards the end of the interview. But she said so many other things before we even got to that, that to me were very alarming, very disturbing. So anyway, we're going to let it play. And you guys can just, as always, I love how you guys leave comments and your thoughts. But if you've made it this far, comment in the comments, first of all, made it this far. And then also let me know your thoughts so far.
So... your fantasy and your curiosity created this great goddess. Your fantasy did that. Your curiosity did that. So you must give yourself... Yes? All right?
Yeah, sure. I'm so blessed.
I understand.
I love my life, and I'm so blessed. And I know a lot of people have given me this opportunity, and, you know... I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly.
No,
and I love my family and my friends, and I try and do my best. Like, my intentions, I always try and set the right intention every morning. But I'm human, and I'm living under this crazy microscope.
This next part I found extremely disturbing, and the way Satan can confuse a young mind into thinking what's important. And this is what Katie deems important.
Well, let's throw the word out. There's a dichotomy. There's a real conflict between Katie and Catherine.
Sure, because look at Katy Perry. She's so glamorous. Yes. She's rich. She's luxurious, successful. Yes. And like Catherine Hudson, like, I didn't have any money. I didn't have any influence. I didn't have anything.
So for you.
So it's a bit hard to go back there.
Can we say for your fans that you are presenting that you have the formula?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
But Catherine, who has a lot of hurt and unevolved feelings, I'm taking your words.
He called it.
Katie gets all the attention.
Sure does.
There's a kahuna principle. It's all about success. That where we give our energy to and our attention to, that's what develops. That's what evolves.
Yeah.
I'm going to fast forward some parts of the interview now and get a little bit towards the end of where you can hear Catherine and her confusion of really what God is, what faith is. And then the ending of this is even more disturbing than what you're going to hear before the ending. So here, we'll just let these segments play. I can't wait to hear your thoughts in the comment section in this next part that comes up. And I want you to say, yeah, Kim, I'm just as confused as you. I always pay attention to what people say. In the beginning of this interview, Catherine was saying that her parents didn't like the fact that she was creative or it wasn't part of her faith, right? Now she's saying that Catherine is definitely 11. She mentioned that very fast. But now she's going to Nashville at 13 years old to hone into her craft. But I'm confused. There was no Ubers back then. Did you take a taxi? Were your parents taking you? So on one hand, you're saying your parents were not for it. And now on the other hand, you're saying your parents are for it. Clearly somebody was taking you to Nashville, Catherine. Who, I guess is what I want to know, is who was taking you? And if it was your family, then that's a complete contradiction to what you said in the beginning.
How old would you say Catherine is right
11.
Now? She's 11.
Yeah.
She's 11.
Because I started singing when I was 9.
Okay.
Then I started realizing 11, 12, 13, I started going to Nashville.
Yeah.
To become more professional, you know?
Yes.
To learn how to write a song. But, yeah, I started turning pro at 11 or what have you.
So could you say that's perhaps the reason that a lot of the feelings are unevolved because Catherine's only 11?
Yeah. But I'm a quick study.
You're a quick study. So now that you have the concept and the vision and the understanding, Catherine needs attention.
I guess so.
To give context, this next part, again, confusing. Katie says she gives 5 things, which she finds in someone. So the reason I wanted to stay here was she talks about 4, a spiritual aspect. And then, as always, like I said in the beginning, this therapist wants to really hone in on the spiritual side so he can knock it, if you want my honest opinion. But then she talks again about spirituality. And from here on out, this is really where the lines get blurred and where, unfortunately, I'm not sure what Jesus Katie learned about in her home, but it is certainly not the Jesus of the Bible. And if it is the Jesus of the Bible, Katie doesn't like the fact that we have to recognize our need for a savior. That's where our ego comes in. That's where the fact that we don't want someone to say, hey, you need to change. You need to live right. We don't want to hear that. It bucks our own ego. And anyway, here we go.
I would like someone to be intelligent so that I can learn. Whether it's emotionally intelligent, head intelligence, spiritual intelligence. And then 4th, spiritual.
Okay.
I want someone that really, like, you know, knows that, like, there's something more than them. It doesn't have to be, you know, any belief system. It can just be that there's something more than them. It's not just us.
Mm-hmm. In this next part, again, he gives a dig at her upbringing. He seems fixated on debunking her upbringing and her spirituality. I don't know why, but he does.
so that I can't grow and doesn't judge me, you know, even if I can judge. Sometimes I'm a little judgy. But that's just my ego.
And maybe your upbringing.
My upbringing, yeah. I mean, probably from some of my conditioning, but...
So, what do you do with your anger? You're upset. Do you become hysterical or out of control?
Well, I would say angry, like, but that's because I let it build. Sometimes I have to swallow things.
And yes.
That's why I meditate.
Yes.
That's helped me. That's why I do yoga now.
Yes.
You know, that's helped me. And, like, honestly, I'm in therapy with my family, and it's amazing. It's so beautiful because, like, you know, my family gets to talk and be a family. And, like, you know, I get to hear my father speak, who I love so much. And I get to hear my mother speak, who I love so much.
Okay. Just feel the love. Well, and let it move through you.
And I didn't really hear them.
Yeah.
And I've tried to listen for them more and hold the space and have compassion for them and, like, love them in an authentic way, you know, because it wasn't always easy because we have very different viewpoints. But now we can agree to disagree in loving space. And so
that is the problem of the world that we live in today is, as Christians, we are the ones to give in. We're the ones to compromise. We're the ones to say, okay, yeah. But the thing is if this is true and her parents are truly born again, they are doing more harm than good for Catherine. They are loving her into hell by not telling her the truth. And that, my friends, is a scary place to be. Here they bring up very briefly if she ever wanted to commit suicide, take her life. And then she talks about a song that she wrote for the grace of God or grace of God. And he asked her to, you know, throw out some lyrics, and she never did. Unless I missed it, I'm going to let this play and you guys can comment below. Did I miss it? Because she never said what the lyric was. She just got really emotional.
Some bouts to where Katie just didn't want to go on.
Yeah, I wrote a song about it.
Okay.
That's how I process, I write songs.
And you get rid of those feelings. Those feelings.
Some of them don't come out fully, and that's why I still do the work.
Which song was that? What lyric comes to your mind?
By the Grace of God.
Can you say a few of those lyrics? They're very close to you. They're very close.
It's hard, like I say, get on tour. And it's hard because I'm ashamed.
That part there really hurt my spirit. And I know very quickly she went and flipped it around and said, it's Katy Perry. But unfortunately, I think at that moment, our sin makes us shameful. That's the whole point of coming to the Lord. It's that guilt and shame, that weight, that burden that finally says, oh God, I need you. You're it, right? That's what salvation is, your recognition of your guilt and your shame and your sin. And then you understand who paid that penalty for that. And so I feel like she was there and then she lost it. And that's how the enemy is maneuvering this poor girl into thinking. I'm going to let this play, though, for a little bit on a couple of points here. One point is you can hear Katie over and over. She so desperately wants to be loved. And that's the thing of our culture today. That is what Jesus did, right? He died for us. He loved us so much that he died in our place. And we wanting to be loved is at the forefront of everything. That's why we go into relationships. That is why we want friends. That is why we want gatherings. We want accolades. We want people to love us. But at what cost? At what price do we sacrifice true, authentic love? So Katie, Catherine, I'm here to tell anyone listening to this, Christ is the only one who's going to love you for who you are. He's not going to keep you the same, of course, but he's going to love you for who you are. Stop striving for love in all the wrong places. and look to the very one who can love us. Then this therapist says something about no one can die for you, and they talk about it. You'll hear the dialogue. And then we're going to close it out with basically the end when he, well, she talks about the heart, which reminds me of Jeremiah 17:9. And then at the end, well, you'll see what happens. And it's just very disturbing again, because spirituality does not mean that one is saved. Now, I'm almost at 45 minutes. This is probably going to be 45 minutes. I apologize, but I'm going to be quiet and let the rest of this play.
Then if you didn't get them out, you could act them out. We don't want that.
No.
We don't want that. So it's good that you got them out.
Yeah. And I wrote that song by the grace of God because, you know, I do believe in something much bigger than me, and I call that God for me. And, you know, I get to live this wonderful life, and I work very hard at it.
Yes, you do.
And I've been given this gift, but I know that, like, God has his hand on me. And I know that sometimes I go through things and I think they're just too intense. I can't handle them. And then he swoops in and he shows me that it's his grace.
Wow.
That brings me through it.
So there again, gut-wrenching to hear her say that, but it's a disconnect between what salvation really is and the devil blesses too. And I think sometimes, and I know that may be hard to hear, but God is not blessing somebody who was satanic in their shows and in their songs, and who talks about tasting cherry chapstick. And I know that's an older song. But God is not blessing Katie, Catherine. The devil is. But she doesn't recognize that she's actually serving darkness and not light. And you know what I always come to think, even when I listen to this on playback, I say, Lord, please, when the rapture happens, let her at that moment say, oh my Lord, was I wrong? I think that's why that number is going to be so great when the rapture happens.
It's okay. Let it go. It's just Catherine here. Catherine does not have to be strong. You're being Catherine. Remember I said at the very beginning, there was some slow sadness coming through me. This is the sadness of Catherine that you're now feeling and allowing to come forth. I always say nobody can die for you.
The Bible would disagree. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have life eternal.
So I hear that some of the rigid rules in your family are breaking down to where now they're a little bit more open system rather than a closed system.
There's feelings and communication, which are terrifying, I think.
Yes.
They were terrifying for us, maybe terrifying for other people.
Yes.
And we are so close now, and like we're on the journey of healing, and I'm so grateful. Like, I love my family. I love putting pictures of my family up.
I've seen that the older that we get, we sort of relax a little bit more.
Sure.
We're not as rigid and doctrinaire and judgmental. We like, we want to be loved and appreciated.
Well, my therapist says something amazing the other day. You have one choice. And I'm going to paraphrase because I'm going to get
sure.
it wrong. To be right or to be loved.
Okay.
You know, do you want to be right or do you want to be loved?
Okay.
I just want to be loved.
Hey.
We you know, do. I can set aside all those ideas or things I think. Mm-hmm. I just want to be loved.
Mm-hmm. So here he is again. He's going to critique her upbringing by these strict, rigid Christians. So again, I don't know her family dynamics. None of us do. I don't know what kind of church. I'm sure I can sit here and research it, but I've got better things to do. I just truly hope her parents are born again, and that in therapy, they're telling Katie, hey, you need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what I would say in therapy. But anyway, I digress. So here he is again, trying to put this stigma of some Christian household, don't raise your kids on Christ because they're strict. They don't let you do anything. It's their way or the highway. You can hear him throughout this interview. I feel like maybe it was probably more than three times that he just wanted to downgrade the Christian faith.
Those individuals are not letting you be who you are. There may be some of the split off of your family of origin, your upbringing, to where there was some judgmentality there, rigidity, and it still may be manifesting outside of you.
Sure. If you didn't believe in the way that was told to believe, then you were not a part of the conversation.
Notice his body language in this part. It's very, very uncomfortable.
Conversation.
Were you ostracized or shamed or talked about?
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
I loved learning, even in church. But like, you know, and my mom and I, we have such a great relationship. And like, I used to sing this song in church called Come As You Are by Crystal Lewis, who I love. Yeah. Crystal Lewis. And like, I feel like sometimes, like, the church does more judging than loving.
Okay.
And that's why it doesn't feel safe for me sometimes.
Okay.
And like, if I was to come as I am, how would I be accepted? Because this is who I am, mm-hmm. you know? Or this is who I'm developing into. Mm-hmm. So I think my mom understands that even more so now than ever. That, you know, less judgment. And I deal a lot with judgment. I've been very judgy in the past. But less judgment, more compassion. More come as you are.
So the word God is real for you.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Okay. So does God judge us? He lets us live, or he, she, whatever, lets us live.
He gives us free will.
They got mistakes. And
so everything about that dialogue was so disturbing, I'm literally going to play it again. So I don't know what's happening in the chat or on post, but that whole part, what? I don't even have any words for that conversation. The only thing that I can say right now, that is why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of Lords. Absolutely, God will judge us. Absolutely. Judgment in the church is one thing. I get that. But we cannot, if you come as you are, I know that song that she's referring to by Crystal Lewis. That's not what that song meant. If you come as you are, absolutely come as you are. But don't stay as you are. I'm going to play that again. Wow.
Were you ostracized or shamed or talked about?
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
I loved learning, even in church. But like, you know, and my mom and I, we have such a great relationship. And like, I used to sing this song in church called Come As You Are by Crystal Lewis, who I love.
Yeah.
Crystal Lewis. And like, I feel like sometimes, like, the church does more judging than loving.
Okay.
And that's why it doesn't feel safe for me sometimes.
Okay.
And, like, if I was to come as I am, how would I be accepted? Because this is who I am, mm-hmm. you know? Or this is who I'm developing into, mm-hmm. so I think my mom understands that even more so now than ever. That, you know, less judgment. And I deal a lot with judgment. I've been very judgy in the past. But less judgment, more compassion. More come as you are.
So the word God is real for you.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Okay. So does God judge us? He lets us live, or he, she, whatever, lets us live.
He gives
us free
will.
They got mistakes and... and we still live. We still have a chance.
I'll rewind it a little bit. Sorry to interrupt it again. But this part is very telling because when he says that, Catherine kind of was like, I think deep down she understands the penalty of sin. If you were raised that way, you've heard that. And she kind of then says cause and effect. And then they go on this other kind of new age mumbo jumbo tangent. But that to me is very, very telling. So again, that's why we need to pray for Catherine, that she would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
And we still live. We still have a chance.
I mean, yes, I believe in, you know, the cause of law and effect. Okay. So I know that every action has a reaction.
Okay, I agree.
And I believe in positive and negative and yin and yang and all
okay.
those things.
Yes.
So I don't think that, like, you can say I'm a good person and go out and do the opposite and it breed good things.
Okay.
So I understand that. And that's kind of my philosophy, is just like living by cause and effect.
I think that's absolutely correct. I don't think there's a right or wrong, because...
Who's to say? I mean, you may have come from a world or a place mm-hmm. where that's right for you. Mm-hmm. But that was your culture. That mm-hmm. was like, how were you raised?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are some like basics.
Yes.
But...
Yes.
Those are like the Ten Commandments.
Yes, yes.
This next part reminds me of Jeremiah 17:9. That the heart is deceptively wicked. Who could understand it? There's a reason that we're not supposed to put how we feel, or we're not supposed to trust our heart, because our heart is deceptively wicked. And so I want to play this part here.
It's a combination.
Okay.
It's a combination, but I try and go here. You know, because the head will just like...
Tell me about it.
It'll try and overthink the whole thing. And like the heart will just say, wait, patience, save his draft. You know, let the universe take care of it. It's not your job. Mm-hmm. Like, revenge is not yours mm-hmm. or what have you. Don't be so catty. Don't be such a troll, you know, on the internet. Like, try and be an example. Be kind. Mm-hmm. And I have great people around me that I've had my whole career. And my sister and my brother and my parents now are great reflections mm-hmm. of kindness and love mm-hmm. and empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of things, but I really try and lead with my heart.
So this is going to close out this interview, and I'm going to let it play. You're going to see reactions. Very, very disturbing. I don't know how else to say this part, because again, Katie, if she's truly saved, she has this reaction to these angel cards. I'm just going to let this play, y'all, and then I'll close it up. But wow is all I can say.
Well, we have this practice at our end of our sessions, and
okay.
you are acquainted with the angel cards, and you live in that arena anyway.
Thank
as
you.
A goddess.
Angels are all around you.
Thank you very much. So let's see what the angels are going to tell you.
So, angels, what shall I learn now?
So I found what she chose to be very revealing, because the angels know. Actually, how I took this was from a biblical point of view. And I paused it here for a reason, because I want you guys to see what she drew, which you will. And then I want for you guys to write, whether it be in the live chat or in the post, where's the only place that she can find that? But her mind doesn't understand the very concept of that word on that card. Yes, there's angels all around us, but they're certainly not telling us what we need to do. That's where the Bible comes into play.
Freedom.
Oh, wow. Isn't that appropriate? Freedom to be who you are.
Thank you.
I'm a little tearful. The rule is I shouldn't cry more than you. I feel your ecstasy.
Thank you.
Did it.
We got somewhere.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being such a great teacher.
Yes.
I can keep this card, right?
That means I gotta buy a whole other set.
I don't know. You want me to put it in?
Okay.
Take a picture, internet freedom. I want this one. I'm gonna send you another set.
Okay, fine. Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The freedom that Catherine is looking for is only found in Jesus. And that interview, like I said, is in the description box below. Feel free to click on the link and you guys can watch it all without my interruptions. I mean, you guys know I have to do that for commentary's sake, copyright, so that I don't have that infringement. But really, that ending really just brought this therapy session full circle for me. Because Catherine, the only freedom you're ever going to get is found in salvation. And that true salvation comes through Christ. Wow. I don't know what else to say this week. I truly hope that you got something out of this, that you will share this, that you'll go back and listen again. And again, not even this podcast, you can listen to the whole interview. And I would love to know your thoughts, what you're feeling like after watching this. This poor girl is so confused. And I don't know what her parents are saying behind the scenes. I don't know. And I don't want to speak on that. But I truly hope that if they are truly born again, that they're going to continue to put her and say, Catherine, you need Jesus. Your fame and your money and all of that is not going to save you. I truly hope that's what they're saying. And in their safe space of therapy. I feel for her. I really do. But the very card that she grabbed is the very thing that she needs in Jesus. Freedom. That's it for me this week. I truly hope that you got something out of this, that you can understand that a belief in God does not make one born again. It just doesn't. Anyway, until we meet again next week, Lord willing, I will see everyone here, there, or in the air. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you enjoyed the content, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, head on over to our website, lifeclipspodcast.com, to find out more information. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email at questions@lifeclipspodcast.com. And as I always end it, I will see you here, there, or in the air.
Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope, and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus.